Years since we've heard from a prophet. As a result, things have been upside down in our nation for far too long. We have long suffered under the corruption and incompetence of weak kings. Kings that turned our nation away from God. We have suffered under the brutality of the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And for the past 63 years, we've been oppressed by the ruthless Romans. To maintain order, Rome installed the Jewish king Herod as administrator. They call him great, King Herod the Great. He doesn't lift up to the title king, let alone great. Meanwhile, we hold tightly to the promise of a deliverer, a Messiah, who will set us free from our oppressors and be a king like David. We look for one who will sit on David's throne. He will establish a kingdom of righteousness and justice. We trust in the covenant God made with Abraham. I will bless you and make you a blessing. And through your seed, all the world will be blessed. We remember the words of Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his kingdom will never end. There's been a lot of waiting and hoping, but not much has been happening. Except, well, injustice and oppression, which seems to know no bounds. Do you like your government? Do you ever wish things could be better? In Israel, we've had enough. Somebody, please give us good government. But I'm an old man. I wonder if in my lifetime I will ever see things change. Will the prophecies ever be fulfilled? Now I'm old. All my life I've known only foreign rule, oppression, the Romans. I despise them. You know, I wasn't always old. I've just slowly gotten older and older, and now here I am, old. My wife Elizabeth, she's not old. Oh no, Elizabeth is most definitely not old. She is, let me get this right, I learned this in marriage class. She's well along in years. She's getting better and better as the years go by. All my life, I've been waiting and praying for three main things. One, to serve in the temple as priest. Two, to be a father. And three, to see the Messiah. For most of my life, my prayers seemed to go nowhere. Elizabeth and I, we'd given up on our dream of having children. The biological clock had just run out of time. Years ago, you know, when we bought our first house on the outskirts of Jerusalem, we made sure there were a couple extra bedrooms. We prayed and prayed for God to bless us with children. Our friends, you know, they were sweet when their children were born. You will make such great parents, they said. Their children grew up. Ours never came. The rooms, they stayed empty. Did God hear our prayers, we wondered. Slowly, the dream just died. The pain and disappointment grew. As for serving at the temple, a great honor, I must say. I kept hoping and praying, but as the years slipped by, I became frustrated. It seemed this wouldn't happen either. You see, I am a priest. My father was a priest. Serving at the temple in Jerusalem is the highest honor a priest can have. A priest serves at the temple for 1 week each year. I'm a member of one of 24 divisions of the priesthood, one of approximately 18,000 priests. For a priest to serve in the temple, he must be chosen by lot. It is quite possible to be a priest and never be called to serve in the temple. I waited years. I wondered if my turn would ever come. Finally, my name was called. The answer to prayer number one. I was thrilled. So there I was in the temple, our most holy place, the most holy place in all the world. I was just very excited and yet guarded in my excitement because I didn't want to make a mistake. My job was to burn incense, symbolizing the prayers of God's people rising toward heaven. The altar of incense was made of acacia wood with a veneer of gold. Acacia is a beautiful hardwood that is almost indestructible. The altar was 91 centimeters high and 45 centimeters square. That's from Exodus 37. The altar serves as a place for the daily burning of incense, both morning and evening. This twice daily exercise consists of a priest taking burning coals from the bronze altar in the temple court and placing the coals upon the incense. That's from Exodus 30, 7 and 8. The incense was a mixture of five spices. When the hot coals hit the incense, a burst of smoke and wonderful smells floats up to heaven. Daily prayers occur at the temple at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. In that moment, as I place the coals on the incense, symbolizing prayer, an angel appeared. He said, "Your prayer has been heard." I was startled and just gripped with fear. It's not every day you see an angel. He said, "Do not be afraid, Zachariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son." My prayer has been heard. But it's been years and years. I think it's too late. The angel continued, "You are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." I recognize those words from Isaiah 40 and Malachi 4. I was startled and shaken. Without thinking, I blurted out, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." I thought it was a fair question. We've waited so many, many years. I was certainly not expecting this when I woke up this morning. My question did not go over well, not at all. The angel looked at me with astonishment. He said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to tell you this good news. Now you will be silent and unable to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Wow, this was no low-level angel. This was Gabriel. Gabriel, as you may know, is a top-ranking angel. He appeared to Daniel when God wanted to talk about the future, what some call eschatology. So when Gabriel showed up right in front of me, I knew something big was on the agenda. Before I had time to apologize, boom, I lost my speech. Talk about bad timing. You see, when the priest comes out of the temple after burning incense, he gives a blessing to the people. But I couldn't speak. All I could do was use sign language. Those gathered at the temple that day knew something unusual had occurred. "What took so long, Zechariah? What happened?" they asked. And of course, I couldn't say a word. I made motions with my hands. I think I looked shaken. I may have staggered a little. People seemed to figure it out. "He's seen a vision. I think something happened in there." I just wanted to go home and be with Elizabeth. But I couldn't even talk to her. All I could do was motion and scribble a few words. Two prayers answered in one day. And after all those years of waiting and waiting, those words are still ringing in my ears. "Your prayer has been heard." I discovered something about angels. They like to have the last word. A word of advice: when you're around angels, keep your mouth shut so you can talk. Maybe it was God's way of saying, "Just watch. I'll take it from here." And then, not long after my temple experience, Elizabeth announces that she's pregnant. It is really happening, just like Gabriel said. I wanted to tell my friends how exciting it was to finally serve in the temple, and I'm going to be a father, too. But I'm tongue-tied. I guess I'll just post it on Facebook. Gabriel appeared to me. But I'm not Daniel caliber. I'm a rank-and-file priest, one of 18,000. I recall Gabriel's words. "His name will be John. Great in the sight of the Lord. He can never drink wine. He will bring back many to the Lord. He will be powerful and full of the Spirit, like Elijah." During the 9-month pregnancy, I was filled with anticipation, but I could not get a word out for 9 long months. Being unable to talk, I had time to think and to read. I remembered our patriarch, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah. They also had no children. They also were old. They also had a visit from an angel to tell them that they would have a boy. Their baby, Isaac, was a fulfillment of the covenant God made to Abraham. Is our baby going to have significance on the scale of Isaac? Is this the beginning of the new covenant, The one Jeremiah prophesied about 500 years ago? The implications are amazing and overwhelming. Then I started kicking myself. Why did I question Gabriel? You know, like, why? I understand now why he reacted the way he did. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to you. Your prayer has been heard. Suddenly, I feel relieved that I only lost my speech. Could have been worse. 6 months into the pregnancy, another amazing thing happens. Elizabeth's relative, Mary, arrives for a visit. You won't believe this, but it turns out she had a visit from the same angel, Gabriel. Mary is young. She's not yet married. She's pledged to marry a fine young man named Joseph. Mary is a virgin. Gabriel announces she is having a baby too. Now, you may think it's a miracle for me and Elizabeth to have a baby, but for a virgin to have a baby, well, that's on an entirely different level. So Mary needed to talk to Elizabeth. As soon as she walked in the door and said hello, our baby, in Elizabeth's womb, jumped. This was more than a little kick. At that moment, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke these prophetic words to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Together, we realized that these two miracles were connected. For Elizabeth and I, get ready for the king. For Mary, give birth to the king. Bring the kingdom into reality. Mary stayed with us for 3 months, right up until the time Elizabeth delivered our baby. I think Mary wanted to see phase one through to completion. And honestly, since I wasn't making much conversation, Elizabeth needed someone to talk with. Also, Mary felt safe being out of her town as the scandal of her pregnancy spread. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son, our baby boy. Neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown Elizabeth and me great mercy. They shared our joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They planned to name him after me, Zachariah. Elizabeth spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." They asked me, well, what I would like to call the child. I asked for a writing tablet. To everyone's astonishment, I wrote, "His name is John." I wanted no part of another run-in with Gabriel. John it is. I don't know why. I just know his name is John. Immediately, my mouth was open, my tongue set free. I began to speak, praising God. All our neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people began talking about these things. They asked, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." I, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. I couldn't believe the words coming out of my mouth. Indeed, my speech had returned in the most dramatic of ways. Was this prophecy the answer to prayer number 3? I trust you have enjoyed the story of Zechariah. Through this story, we see God's plan unfolding. We also learn some things about prayer. I believe in prayer. I know God hears our prayers. But I have questions about how prayer works, how God works. I want to see answers now. Often, God takes his time. Sometimes he answers differently than I thought. I also see in Zechariah's story and in mine that often God does greater things than we ask or imagine. Incense is a picture of our prayers rising to heaven. Psalm 141, verse 2. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Revelation 5:8 reads, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. In this season of Advent, as we prepare for the coming of the Christ, I hope you will be encouraged in prayer. So, 3 things. 1, God invites us to pray. Over and over, we're encouraged, invited, welcomed to pray. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God invites us to pray. 2, we are to pray in Jesus' name and according to God's will. John 16:24. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. On the flip side, James 4, verse 3 says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So wrong motives, not asking in Jesus' name. I think we're to ask according to God's purposes, His plan, as Christ has taught us. Pray for the mighty working of God in our world, but pray for your needs too. Jesus invites us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." He cares about our needs. Pray for the things that are God's will. And three, know that God has promised to answer prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." In James 5:16 it says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." God is going to fulfill His purposes and His promises, just as He did 2,000 years ago. He cares about our big prayers and our many smaller prayers. Sometimes we have to wait for answers, but we can be assured that God hears our prayers. They rise up to Him like incense. If we pray with the right attitude, God will respond and He will do what is good. When Gabriel appeared, Zechariah saw two of his three prayers answered, and the third soon followed. You know, I've experienced many answers, but there are other things, some of my big prayers, that I'm still waiting for. Like Zechariah, I keep on praying. My prayers and your prayers are rising to heaven like incense. Like Zechariah, may we experience your prayer has been heard. Thank you. Joanne, please lead us in a closing song.